When you think about frog fishing and you think about West Coast fishing in particular, Bobby Barrick's name comes into play. And Bobby, I guess the first thing is welcome to Bass Fan Radio. It's nice to have you on.
I appreciate you having me, Terry.
Well, let's talk a little bit about last week. First thing is FLW Series out there. You guys had your first taste of that, a full field, of course, and you came out in second place. Like to have won that event, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had a good surge going through the first 3 days. And then fourth day, I started getting a little bit of heat in the area that I was in. So I pretty much abandoned the area, and I kind of went pre-fishing on that fourth day. But with a lot of confidence, I really felt like, you know, I had the pattern that I needed, you know, to catch 18 to 20 pounds. I figured because of the tides and the way that they were and the way that the weather had been and the temperament of the fish, they weren't chasing. They weren't running around killing spinnerbaits and swimbaits and all that kind of stuff like they were doing the first day of practice and the last couple of days leading up to cutoff. They were in kind of a lull. They were in a little transition period. So you had to really slow down, fish heavy cover. It just didn't work up. I came up a little bit short that last day.
Well, I guess first thing I need to talk about, number one, is, you know, Snagproof has got a great reputation across the country, but a lot of it's as a result of you. And then you start talking about the California guys. You know, I love, you know, when you're out in the Midwest or you're out East, we talk about flipping sticks and, you know, this and that, and you guys call them flip sticks, and you got all these, it's almost a different language for bass fishing out there. And then the other thing that I want to make sure we bring up here is that was on the Delta. And that was an FLW Series event. Well, right on the heels of that now comes an event that's the Elite Series event out there. I mean, this Delta has got to be a phenomenal fishery. Talk about weight.
You know, you're exactly right, Terry. I mean, like I was telling one of the reporters, I said, you know what, I would put the Delta's got 1,000 miles of waterways and all that kind of stuff, but let's just break it down into one little piece, Frank's Track.
Mm-hmm.
I would put Frank's Track up against all the best fisheries in the United States, just that one little 6 mile radius, because it is unbelievable. It's mind blowing how many fish from 4 to the teen range are cruising around that are going to settle down this week. It's mind boggling how many fish you can go out and, you know, just recreation style fishing. You know, of course, it doesn't happen every day, but during the course of a month in March and April and in the first part of May, you'll have 6, 7, 8 days during those months where you can go with a spinnerbait, a BDS-3, maybe a spook, a buzzbait, whatever your lure of choice is, and catch a 30-pound bag, and or drop shot, or throw a Senko, or, you know, even a frog if you have the weather. You know, you got weather that works for you for 2, 3 days, then they'll start getting frisky, they'll start looking up, and they'll smoke that froggy. It's incredible. But, you know, we were all sitting back hoping that our tournament would have been on this series of tides that the BASS guys have. They're going to get a little bit closer to that full moon. Those fish are staging in about 6 feet of water. In the afternoon, a lot of those fish are moving up into 2, 3 feet of water, and you can see them. It's like a freak show. But the thing is, yesterday they had a 40-mile-an-hour north wind that put a lot of color in the water where a lot of the guys were pre-fishing. So that's going to hurt a lot of guys, because I guided on Monday and Tuesday before I came down here to do seminars in San Diego, and that water was beautiful. I cruised through there real quick. There was about 30 BASS guys going down through there, so I just pulled off the bank and let them do their homework. And I started bouncing around doing some other sections. And, by the way, I think Greg Hackney's going to do real well where I saw him.
That's a prediction, folks, for those of you that are keeping track of that. That's great.
When I saw him where I saw him, I was like, oh, boy, this guy either got some great information or he's a lot better fisherman than what I ever thought. I knew he was a tremendous fisherman, but where I saw him, that guy's sitting on a great couple, and I think he can use it for 3. I don't know about 4 days. Hopefully he's got another spot, but it was pretty impressive to see him where he was.
Well, you know, that is amazing. I mean, when you know you've been there forever and know this waterway, and you know, the Delta itself is reminiscent to me, at least with the canals and stuff, of New Orleans to a certain extent, but it's just a lot different vegetation and clearer and some of those kind of things than maybe you see in the Mississippi River Delta.
Right. And you know, I don't know a whole lot about the Mississippi Delta. From what I understand, the water moves one way, it moves south. You know, our water will move north, south, east, and west, depending on which tributary it's going down. And we have 4 tide cycles. We have 2 highs, 2 lows. And they're usually spanned out within 6 hours of each other. And we have a fluctuation of approximately 3.5 feet on one tide. And then the next tide, you'll have a fluctuation of 1.5 to 2, 2.25 feet.
So are you fishing low tides, Bobby? Is that kind of what you look for? You like that good low tide in the spawn here?
Yes. But right now, bass are just being bass. They're doing whatever they want to do, you know. Us as fishermen, we're like, oh, man, we should be smoking them right now. You know, that water's nice and low. They don't have to travel too far to grab that bait because they're on the outside of the weeds or they're on that little ditch at that lower tide. And like I said, that reaction thing just wasn't there. But these fish right now, they prefer that higher tide. And that's what these guys have got. They've got a high tide in the morning, and it's been going out for about 6.5 hours. So, you know, I don't know how good that morning bite's going to be, but that mid-range, just as that water starts to fall, those fish are going to start to wake up a little bit, get a little frisky. They know that the clock's ticking. They got to run around and, you know, punch some crawdads or chew on some shell crackers or whatever it may be, and then get out. When it goes down on the river, that's what it does. There's going to be a lot of guys, and hopefully the camera boats can get some of this, where guys, you know, not doing real well, not doing real well, and then all of a sudden, bang, he gets his first bite on a spinnerbait, LV, whatever. And then, boom, he throws it in the box, throws again, throws again, throws again. There's another one. You know, a lot of times we get these 7, 8, 13-minute windows where you went from zero to hero quick. It's beautiful when it happened. Like the other day when I weighed 31 the first day of the tournament, the first bite I got, I hadn't been bit for about 2.5, 3 hours. The first bite I got on my flipping stick was, I don't know, the low teen fish just blew my rod up on the set. And I'm trying to reel this fish in. I got a little bitty stick with a reel on it, and my rest of my rod's going off to the right. And I said, oh, I hope she stays on. She came off. But instead of sitting there and pouting, I know what that fish just told me. That window has just opened. So instead of pouting, I just wind in, throw that rod on, grab the other pole, go up to the next spot, kick that trolling motor on high, make a good pitch. There she is. Boom, 7.5. Okay, cool. Net, scoop, box. Go to the next patch, pitch. There she is. Boom, 7.5. Okay, cool. Pick up, fire up the outboard, cruise across, stop, pitch, 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 pitch. Boom, 8-pounder. So it goes down like that. And if you know how to recognize that window of opportunity and then jump through it, you could be the man. But if you don't ever get that window to open up for you and you got to really fight and grind and all that kind of stuff, then, you know, that's when you really get your patience tested.
I'm telling you right now, I mean, you got my patience right now. I'm ready to head there to California to go fishing with you. You know, you're kind of known as the Frog King by me. I mean, everybody that knows you knows about your frog fishing, you know, Snag Proof Frog and the Bobby Barrick Perfect Frog. And now they've got this, you know, the bleeding series out there. When does that really kick in out there? Kind of give me an idea when that starts to happen.
Terry, you know what? You can catch frogfish 12 months out of the year. It's just the numbers will vary. The lowest water temperature I've ever caught frogfish in was 43 degrees, and that was back in like 90, let's say 94, something like that. We had real cold water. Water was down to 39, 40 degrees, warmed up to 43. I got 4 bites that day. Smallest one was 4.25, biggest one was 4.75. Water temperature 43 degrees. I fished for about 6 hours with that dog because I was so in love with it. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted no worms in the boat, no spinnerbaits, no rattletrap, no nothing. This is all I want to do. You know, that day I got all those fish in about 8 or 9 minutes, and then it was over. Never got bit for 2-3 hours after that until I put the boat on the trailer. But I'm not suggesting that guys go out and do that by any means, but 12 months out of the year, you can get bit on the frog. Weather has everything to do with it, especially your overnight lows. If your lows get too low overnight, that's really going to hurt your frog bite. Then don't even bother picking it up until after 12 o'clock. But if you have that weather that, you know, it's kind of nice, you know, where it gets down 55, 60 degrees at night, or, you know, once we get into May, if you get where that water temperature or that air temperature get down, you know, 65, 68, I call it the 30-degree rule. If your nighttime, you know, when the sun goes down in the evening, let's say it's 85 degrees, as long as that air temperature doesn't go below 55 that night, that's a 30-degree swing. As long as it doesn't go below 55, you're in good shape. You could probably start with that frog in the morning. But if it sun goes down, it's 85 degrees. Overnight, that air temperature gets down into 50, 49 for whatever reason. Maybe you have some overcast come through or, you know, things switch and start to come out of the north. Put that frog down. You know, go with your slower baits. Maybe, you know, get some subsurface baits going. But especially in the summertime, like the guys have in the south, I mean, I got a lot of family in northeast Texas, and I fish at Arkansas and Wright-Patman Lake and some of the ponds back there. When I go back there, Toledo Bend, you know, they have those beautiful evenings where that, I mean, it just stays nice all night long. It might be 95 and then, you know, the overnight low might be 80. So that's a 15 degree deal right there. So they're going to eat that frog right off the bat. You need to have that. You need to slide that boat in the water before that sun ever thinks about coming up. And you're going to get 2, 3, 4 key bites first thing in the morning. Then it's probably going to slow down a little bit. And then after 8 o'clock, 8:30, you're going to get another little window. And then after 12 o'clock, even if that water temperature is 93, 94 degrees, we were on Millwood Lake this last summer, and I was back there in August. That water temperature was 92 degrees, and those fish were suspended in the shade on them cypress trees that were just out in the middle of some of these little bays. And, you know, the sun would be off to the left, and that the shade that was created from that tree would be extended out to the right. And those fish were relating to that shade line 20 yards off that tree. But you could call them up with that frog. We were just walking frogs in open water. It was awesome. My cousin was smoked. He was blown away. He couldn't believe we were doing that.
Well, you know what we're going to do? I've already made my decision here. I've got, you know, a little bit of program here that I can do in this little short period of window. But I'm going to tell you this. Here's exactly what we're going to do. I'm having you back, and all we're going to talk about is frogs.
Okay.
All we're going to do. Man, I'm fired up with you. I'm fired up to see this thing going on. And Bobby, I really appreciate you. Number one, you gave us great insight on what happened there at California. I think that, you know, now we're going to look for Hackney. We got him in our fantasy picks, no question there.
Oh, cool.
And then on top of that, I really appreciate you being with me here at Bass Fan Radio.
Okay, man.
I'm having you back. You be ready for that. We're talking frogs next time.
Let's do that, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.